But we've got more exciting series coming in December. I've regularly, every Tuesday afternoon, I find myself at Tuesday Fellowship sharing with our brother and sisters there, and it's exciting. I really enjoy it. And the topic this autumn winter has been dreams and visions. We've looked at William Booth as a visionary, but we've also looked at people having dreams and visions in Scripture, like Joseph, for example. So I was really excited when I came to the passage we had this morning. Today we're looking at Peter and Cornelius, and they both see visions. So I'd encourage you to turn to Acts 10, if you have your Bible. If not, it will be on the screen. Thank you, Ted. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctively saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius!" Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. At about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth, birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him in a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to this house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. What an action-packed and dynamic passage. It's through this encounter that the Gentile world, the non-Jewish world, that would be you and me, had its first experience and encounter of the gospel and the person of Jesus. From this point onwards, it is a turning point concerning the spreading of the gospel. It's no longer just confined to the Jews. It is open to everyone in any region or nationality. Jesus' message was for all people. What a turning point. This turning point came about because God spoke to Peter and Cornelius through a vision. And God wants to speak to us today in the same way. At the beginning of the book of Acts, a prophecy from Joel is written, and it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." As you can see, I am a glasses wearer. And there are a number of us here this morning. Go, glasses wearers. There are some hazards and frustrations when it comes to wearing glasses that you who don't wear glasses might not be aware of, particularly when it rains. You need windscreen wipers. I'm sure someone has invented it on Dragon's Den or the like. You need windscreen wipers because you cannot see. Also, if you see me on the school run in the morning, if I come outside and then come into this building, for example, which is always lovely and warm, I steam up. I cannot see a jot, so I often will take them off to try and see, but I can't see as well because I don't have my... It's, oh, calamity. And then there's just the wear and tear of every day, whether it's through children or... I don't know, they just get so dirty and smeary. And so for me, it's really important to be able to see clearly, but it's also really important to be able to hear clearly too, especially when it comes to hearing from God in prayer and sharing the message of Jesus that Jesus wants us to bring. We've read in the passage that Peter and Cornelius prayed regularly. Verse 2, talking about Cornelius, says he gave generously to the poor and he prayed regularly to God. And concerning Peter, verse 5 mentions, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. They both received visions in this context, the context of regular prayer. Prayer was part of their everyday lives, part of their routine. They prayed regularly, and on this particular day, God spoke to them using a vision. Praying for them was not only about praying to God, sharing their requests and their petitions, but it was about hearing from him too. It is a two-way conversation, both speaking and listening. It was in this atmosphere that God spoke loud and clear to both of these men with amazing visions. Do you pray regularly? Is prayer part of your everyday life? Are you persistent? Do you find it difficult? In Philippians it says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We need to pray with expectation. Expectation that it is a two-way conversation with elements of speaking and listening. God wants to pour out his spirit on us. He wants to speak to us today through visions, just as he did with Peter and Cornelius. He wants to speak to us in this way so that we can share the transforming message of the gospel to all who we come into contact with. I want to tell you a story about spaghetti. I almost bought a packet from home, but I'm sure you can imagine a packet of spaghetti. A friend of ours, who's a pastor, shared this story with us. There was an opportunity during a Sunday morning meeting for people to share a word, a picture, maybe a line of scripture. And this individual came up and whispered in the ear of the person at the front of the meeting what they had a picture of. And so this individual came to the front very apprehensively and said, I've seen a picture of a plate of spaghetti bolognese. The other person didn't think any more of it. But as they were sharing it, someone from the back of the meeting walked out and they didn't know what had happened. It turned out later in the week, the person came to speak to the pastor. He said, the evening before, I'd had an argument with my wife, and in this argument, I'd thrown a plate of spaghetti bolognese across the room. So this gentleman had been convicted through a picture about spaghetti bolognese to go home to his wife to ask for reconciliation, to seek forgiveness. We also have a rich heritage of examples and prophetic visions in Scripture, not of spaghetti bolognese. We've got Ezekiel's vision, the valley of the dry bones, in Ezekiel 37. We have Isaiah's vision of God's throne room in Isaiah 6. Visions are very prominent in the book of Acts. Saul sees a vision of Jesus on the Damascus Road. And following this, Ananias receives a vision too. There are often examples of visions, receiving visions when to leave somewhere, when to stay somewhere, and visions giving direction. And of course, John's enormous vision in the book of Revelation concerning the end times. What a heritage we have. But moving back to Cornelius and Peter, we see from the passage that Cornelius was a Gentile, a centurion in the Roman army. He wouldn't have had regular contact and interaction with Jews and Christians, because it would have been seen as forbidden, as Gentiles were seen as unclean. Yet, in spite of this, he's described as devout, God-fearing. He was generous and had an active prayer life. We see Cornelius responding to the general revelation of God in the world around him. The vision that Cornelius received was something entirely brand new. He didn't have a context to understand and explain it. But in spite of this, there isn't a moment of doubt. He immediately actions what he sees in the vision, and he sends his two servants and a devout soldier to find Peter in Joppa. Moving on to Peter, this bit makes me laugh. He was praying and becomes hungry. Who has ever become hungry when you are praying? We can associate with this. Whilst waiting for lunch, he then falls into a trance and sees a curious vision with all sorts of animals on it. He is then asked to get up, kill, and eat. In comparison to Cornelius, Peter initially questions and saying, "Surely not." God gives confirmation to Peter by repeating the vision three times. We see from verse 17, Peter's perplexed. He's still weighing and wondering what the vision means. In this context, the Spirit speaks to him, saying, "Cornelius' men are arriving." I wonder for you, which reaction do you associate most with? Are you like Cornelius? You know immediately when God is speaking, with assurance and clarity. Or perhaps you're like Peter, not always sure whether you've heard from God at all. Maybe you're hungry. Maybe it was the strong cheese you had last night. That explains what I'm hearing. Or maybe when you do hear, it's all confusing and a muddle in your head and hard to understand. God does say he will pour out his Spirit on all people. God wants to speak to us today, to speak through the prophetic, through dreams, and through visions, so that there are many, many more people turning to faith and saying yes to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He can use the ordinary to speak to us, like spaghetti bolognese, and like the animals Peter saw. He can also use the extraordinary too. Last weekend, I went to a worship conference in Eastbourne. And like with conferences or concerts, you often book your tickets way ahead of time. I find this uneasy because I don't often receive my ticket or confirmation until the week before. And so I then start to doubt, well, the money did go out of my account, didn't it? So that must mean I did get my ticket. But where was that email or that letter confirming my place? I'm not sure. Did I book it? And this really unsettles me, because I like to have a piece of paper telling me, not something on my phone, some kind of, use this barcode and you can get in. I need something concrete. Once I got to the conference, I got a name badge on. I thought, finally, yes, I have a badge on a lanyard with my name on. Yes, I have confirmed my place for the conference. When we hear from God, it's also important to have confirmation, not with a lanyard and your name on it, but it's important to have confirmation about what he has said. God gave confirmation to Peter in this passage through repetition of the vision. We read that the vision is repeated three times and that the vision had lasting impact for Peter. When we hear from God through visions and other means, confirmation can come through repetition, either immediately or maybe at another point. God giving confirmation by highlighting the same message. Confirmation can also come through lasting impact. When we receive a vision or a picture, it stays with us. And over time, it doesn't fade. It's still loud and clear. Cornelius received his confirmation through his encounter with Peter. He was faithful to respond to his vision of an angel speaking to him. And when Peter arrived, he was able to explain and confirm what God was saying to Cornelius and his family. God uses the same means of confirmation today. When we receive a vision or a picture from God, often confirmation can come from another brother or sister in Christ standing in agreement with us and confirming what we've seen or what we've heard. Maybe through a scripture, a word of knowledge, or even another vision. I find one of the keys to understanding and confirming what God is saying is listening to the Holy Spirit. In verse 19, the Holy Spirit gives Peter direction. Peter knew when the Holy Spirit was speaking to him because he recognized his voice. He had spent a time cultivating that relationship. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit gave him direction, he recognizes his voice and knows straight away what he should do. Do we recognize his voice? At the beginning of the book of Acts, a prophecy from Joel is used. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Church, this is for us today. All of you, we are in this time. God wants to pour out his spirit on all of us today. Amen? Amen. Let's cultivate a lifestyle of prayer where we anticipate God speaking to us through visions and giving confirmation to what he's saying through the Holy Spirit, so that we can share the message, the gospel message of Jesus, with our whole community and our family, so that we can start many more turning points of faith. Imagine the possibilities. This message is for all people, every race, age, nationality, gender, social standing. Jesus came once for all for everyone. Let us share the message of Emmanuel, God with us. Let me pray. God, we thank you that you're a God that wants to be involved in our lives. You are ever present. You want to speak to us today. You want to speak to us every day. And Lord, as we have time during communion, may you help us to hear what you're saying to us today, as individuals and as a church. Lord, bring people to mind that you want us to share the gospel message of Jesus with. I pray that you would pour your spirit out on this people here so that we might be a witness to the community around us. Amen.